So we came to the end of our spiritual discipline series. So you may remember we were looking at the Richard Foster book, Celebration of Discipline. And I thought I'd just test you, see how many you can remember. So how many of the disciplines can you remember? Can anyone kind of give me a discipline?
Fasting.
There we go. Fasting, yeah, well done.
Submission.
Submission, well.
Right.
Service.
Solitude.
Solitude.
Prayer.
Simplicity.
Prayer, simplicity.
Well,
meditation, well done.
Guidance.
Guidance, well you should remember that one, Joanne, you did that one. Didn't you?
I wanted everybody else to remember it.
Yeah, you've got most of them, a couple you haven't.
Prayer.
I heard prayer, yeah, someone did say prayer.
Worship.
Worship is one, yeah, there's another two actually. You should remember. Celebration, thank you.
Celebration.
Come on. One more. Isn't it? This one's really interesting that you forgot this one. No. They're all disciplines. Confession. Confession. Interesting. Probably one of the hardest ones to be involved with. So we've gone through that book, and as we come to the end, we were talking in our ministry team together as to where we move forward. And I've got very much the Barnabas Network mentee network that we're putting together in mind, and very much part of that is spiritual growth. Spiritual disciplines help us to grow, but part of it is spiritual growth. How do we grow in the Lord? And so what we thought is that we would return, because we did look at this passage not that long ago, but we returned to Galatians 5 verses 13 to 26. Sue read from 16 to 26, but we will include those few verses before it. And within it, you have this fruit of the Spirit that is talked about. So we're going to do a series looking at the different parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you talk about spiritual growth, it's the fruit of the Spirit that you begin to think about. It's these areas of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. It's these areas that are the fruit that show that we are spiritually growing. So we're going to do that. And that will take, this is an intro sermon, and then others, and I myself, will take different elements of the fruit of the Spirit and share those with you in Scripture and encourage us to be thinking about these areas and allowing God to minister to us in these areas of our lives. And then when we've completed that, that will probably take us to somewhere around August, maybe September. It's very difficult because they fall into a funny pattern. But around that kind of time, we felt also it'd be good then to move on to, so we've looked at spiritual disciplines, then we'd have looked at spiritual growth, and then to move on to spiritual gifts. So to look at some of the spiritual gifts, which actually probably take us a lot longer, because actually there's a whole load of spiritual gifts. So we're focusing very much at the moment in these services on a Sunday evening at spirituality, and what God is calling us to, and how we're growing, and all those kind of things. So that's just really to tell you where we're going over the next, probably next year, actually, in total. So tonight I want to look at this passage, really starting from verse 13 through to the end of the chapter, and just give an intro to spiritual growth. And I want to make five, what I hope are helpful comments regarding our spiritual growth, that kind of flow out of this passage as you read it. The first is this. And I haven't got a PowerPoint, so you may want to write these down. Very simple little things. And I'm sorry if this kind of teaching you to suck eggs, but sometimes we just need to be reminded of these things, I think. The first thing is this. You either grow or you decline. You either grow or you decline. There is no in-between in spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is like a journey. You're either stepping forward or you're going backwards. There is no kind of standing still. It's like being on one of those, you know, those things in the airport, what are they called, travelators or something? Is that right? And you step onto them and, you know, you either go in with the travelator, or if you step onto the wrong one, you'll be going backwards, which is not a good idea, because that could be quite painful at the end of the day. Spiritual growth is growth. When you think of growth, growth has to be growth. It has to grow. Do you know what I mean? It's like a plant. I mean, I'm not very good with plants. I tend to kill plants. This church, bless you, you bought me this lovely orchid when I came to this church. It didn't take me long to kill the thing. And as I watched this blessed thing die, trying my best to keep it going, I said to the Lord, I said this little prayer once over this thing. I said, Lord, I hope my ministry here is not like this plant. It kind of just dies. So I'm off piste a bit when I talk about plants and growing. But my understanding is that plants need to grow. Yes, sometimes they're pruned back, but they need to be growing for them to succeed as plants, to be fruitful as plants, to flower as plants. They need to be growing, and it's very much with our own lives. We need to be growing, or if we're not growing, there is no standing around. There is no. Someone once said to me, "I'm taking time out from church." I thought, "What's time out from church?" There's no time out in our Christian lives where we can just step aside for a moment and watch the world go by and just be in this little cocoon. There is none of that. You step out, you step back. That's what happens. And you begin to, well, we call it backsliding. I don't particularly like that term, but we begin to slide backwards. We're either proactive or we're inactive. We're either growing or we are dying. One of the other passages that particularly came to mind, and we've flicked back, and you might want to have your finger in this one, is John 15. John 15 is very much about spiritual growth. And it's Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he uses this analogy of the vine, of course, the vine and the branches. And he says to them, right at the beginning of chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's a really challenging verse, actually. I mean, we love the vine passage, don't we? But if we stop and listen to what Jesus is saying, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. So if you bear no fruit, the result is the gardener, God himself, could, according to Jesus, will cut you off. Cut you off. It kind of makes you feel uncomfortable. And actually, sometimes I think we have probably not actually preached the truth about this. In our modern kind of Christianity, we've made things comfortable for people. I remember having a conversation with someone once, and they kind of said to me, would God ever kind of give up on me? Well, I don't think God ever gives up on people. But believe me, people can give up on God. And it does come a moment. There does come a moment when God says this is the moment where, and when, particularly when Jesus returns, but it might be, you know, at our day of death, when there is no chance to say, do you know what, I'm going to sort it out. You know, all this decline in my life spiritually, I'm going to now sort it out. I'm going to start growing. So there is the potential, God, actually, for someone saying, you know, I believe. I'm going through the waters of baptism. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then kind of going, do you know what? I think I'll just take a step to one side for a while and then take a step back and take a step back to the point when actually their spiritual lives have died. The plant that God so planted once is now dead and it's ready to be pulled up and thrown away. And I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves as Christians that is very scriptural. Jesus is very clear about that. There are people that will say, you know, I knew him as Lord and Savior, and Jesus said, I didn't know you. You said you knew me, but you didn't actually bear any fruit. You didn't grow in your life. So there's some scary stuff here that I don't want to lean on too much, but I think there is some important stuff in Scripture that says growth. You're either growing or you're not growing. And I know there are times in my lives when I've grown, and I know there are times in my life I have not grown. And it hasn't been a priority. I don't want to grow. And we'll get to the reasons why I don't want to grow in a moment or two, but it's really important. Spiritual growth is really important all the way through our lives. Number two, point number two that comes from this passage is that growth is a choice. Paul makes it quite clear in this passage that the Christian life is one of freedom. So let me take you right back to chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again to a yoke of slavery. 5, verse 13, he comes back to this theme of freedom. I'll read through to verse 15 because Sue didn't read that bit, but that was my fault. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use this freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another. The entire law is summed up in one single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will destroy each other. And so Paul comes back to this sense that we are set free. We are in Christ, in all the salvation he's given us, in the salvation of our sin and removal of our sin, we're set free from all that and given freedom. But freedom for what? I've just read that. Freedom to grow. Freedom to bear fruit. Freedom to actually make a choice to follow Jesus. And to follow him to the point that our lives are watered and that good things are taking part, that the kingdom of God is growing in our lives. You know, we have a choice. Paul says you have a choice to do one thing or the other. We come on to this kind of the flesh and the spirit in a moment or two. But he says you have this, it's like a path. He says there's a path that leads to the spirit and there's a path that leads to the flesh or the sinful nature, if you want. That's what he means when he uses the word flesh. Which choice are you going to make? And then you find that actually most days that's the choice, isn't it? That fork in the road is constantly there. Today, am I going to walk towards the spirit or am I going to walk towards the things of the flesh? Actually, when we fall into temptation and when we fall into sin, there's always, I think, a moment of choice. If you, next time you sin, or actually the last time you sinned, the last time you sinned, just think back at the last time you sinned. You know, you did something, you know it was not pleasing to God, it wasn't right. It doesn't take long, does it? Probably just a few hours, maybe. For me, it's just a few minutes, but for you, maybe a few hours. Was there not a moment of choice where you could go one way or the other? It's kind of, if you reflect on it, probably there is. There's probably a moment where you choose, which path am I going to take? Growth, spiritual growth, is a choice. You choose to grow. In the Barnabas Network, we emphasize particularly, and we continue to do so, intentional spiritual growth. I intend to grow. That's why people have signed up to the Barnabas Network, of which 30 people have signed up to. They intend to grow, and what they want to do is they want to put a discipline around them so that they make the choice. They're making the choice, and then they're going to say, put a discipline around me so I walk that journey, not that journey. So that it's intentional, and it's the choice that I'm making. Number three is that growth is hard work. If you're a gardener, you'll know. I should get Sue up here because she does most of our gardening. When Sue's out gardening, she works hard. Occasionally, the really hard work she calls me in for. You, if there's something that really needs dug up or dug out, then that's my job. I do the kind of really hard work. But she works hard. And she works hard on all those small little weeds and pruning stuff back and making sure the place looks good. Same in our spiritual garden. If we want our lives to be flourishing, full of flowers and full of fruit, then we have to work hard at it. And Paul actually says this. He says, look, it's not going to be easy. He actually indicates that there are two things that are in conflict with each other. Actually, I was going to call this growth is a battle, and then I kind of went to hard work, but I could have used that title. Growth is a battle. If you want to grow, there will be a spiritual battle going on inside your life. And Paul talks about this battle of the flesh against the spirit, or the battle of sinful nature, if you want, against spiritual nature. The flesh versus the spirit. And so he lists these two wonderful and one not so wonderful lists. He lists this whole thing about sinful nature, the flesh. And he says, you know what these things are, don't you? In fact, actually, we should have had a flip chart up this evening and we could kind of write them all out. But you know the kind of things, he says. I'll list a few for you. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. I'll go on if you want. Hatred. You know, you might have got to the end of that and thought, oh, I'm all right there. You know, I haven't fallen into any of those. Hatred. Discord. Jealousy. These are things we all, I think. Fits of rage. Anyone had a fit of rage? Most of us, I would have thought. Selfish ambition. None of us. We'll get past that one. Dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and then he says, and the like, dot, 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 dot. You know, you add whatever you want. You know, I've given you enough examples, but you could go on listing them. And do we not find these things so easy to do, do we? I don't know about, well, you know, you're holy, wonderful, amazing Christians, aren't you? I find them so easy to do. It's the easiest thing to do, to get up in the morning and fall into. Perhaps not witchcraft so much, but a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of anger, a little bit of sexual lust, a little bit of factions and envy, and maybe for some of you, a little bit of drunkenness and being out of control. Easy to kind of fall into those areas. So, so easy. I don't even have to think about it. I'm sinning. Boom. I still believe that we are born into sin. You know, sin is our nature. It's what we're born into. Our parents sin around us. Sorry, son, but that, you know, we pass that on to you. You know, Aubrey was lovely, wasn't she, this morning? She's such a delight. Absolutely lovely. I mean, I loved the video as well. Such a lovely, lovely child. I mean, all babies are, aren't they? But they find it so easy to sin, don't they? I bet you I wouldn't need to be with her very long to discover that she's got that little spirit in her, that when we say yes, she says no. And when we say no, she says yes. And all those things. And as soon as she starts to move, she'll start touching and doing and eating all the things that she shouldn't touch and do and eat. You know, some of you remember your own children. Some of you have got that joy to come where you're constantly saying, no, 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 don't do that, don't do that. It just comes so natural to us, doesn't it? And yet, see, the things of the sinful nature come so naturally to us. The things of the spirit don't come so naturally, do they? Yeah, love doesn't come so naturally. It does if we're in love. But once we get beyond that, we have to, for those of us that have been married for a long time, if I'm talking about, you know, love in the marriage, we have to work at it. We have to work at it year after year. And each year that passes, we have to work at it harder and harder and harder. It doesn't come easily. Of course, this love wasn't just about romantic marriage love. It's about loving each other. We don't find that easy, do we? Joy is not easy. Not when we feel like our world is collapsing around us. Joy is not easy. You find being at peace easy? In this crazy, crazy world of ours? Rushing from one place to the other? Find that easy? Find it easy to be patient with people? Or kind? Or good? Or faithful? Or gentle? Or self-controlled? Do you find any of those things easy? Fascinating, isn't it? The things of the Spirit are not easy. They are hard work. This is not a promotion for the Barnabas Network, you understand. But the Barnabas Network, or something similar, a discipline around you actually helps. Because you've got someone to go to talk with. You know, you have a mentor. The network actually means that eventually mentees and if they give us permission, mentees and mentors will all know who's part of the network. And they'll be able to go and talk to each other if they wanted to. There'll be moments when we gather together, perhaps, to encourage each other. Recognizing that if we want to bear fruit in the Lord, it isn't easy. And therefore, we need each other's support and encouragement. But it's worth it. The hard work is worth it. You know, when Sue puts all the hard work in our garden, spring comes, and then summer comes, and you look out the window and you go, thanks, darling. I never do, actually, thank her for it. But thanks, darling, because that looks great. That looks beautiful. That garden was worthwhile, all your hard work. Not mine, but yours. It takes hard work to grow spiritually. Number four is that actually full proper growth, spiritual growth, only comes by the Spirit. As Sue read that passage, hopefully you picked that up. That's why we got this kind of tension between the flesh and the Spirit, but actually true spiritual growth is growth in the Spirit. And that is worth saying, because some of us can really beat ourselves up. over our own lives. And what we do, and I've said this recently, but what we do is we look at our lives, and after a sermon like this, this is the danger of a sermon like this, is after a sermon like this, you could go home and you could look at your own life and go, actually, I am not doing very well. And beat ourselves up. And then we say to ourselves, don't we, I will do better in the morning. And we get up in the morning and we try our very spiritual best and we kind of conjure up as much spiritual strength as we can. And somehow we are going to do better. Well, actually, I need to tell you that that is not how spiritual growth works. Spiritual growth does not work by us conjuring up strength within ourselves spiritually. Spiritual growth works when we fall before our Lord and we cry out to the Spirit and we say, I can't do this. I can't do this. Only you can. There are two elements to this. Firstly, spiritual growth happens when we remain in Christ. And I think that is our responsibility. I think that is our responsibility, that we actually choose to remain in Christ. So John 15, verse 4, no branch can bear fruit by itself, says Jesus. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So we must remain in Christ. What does that mean? Well, that means we need to intentionally do things that ensure that we're in Christ. Returning to his word. Falling on our knees to pray. Well, not physically. Well, you can. That's not a bad thing. But, you know, at least metaphorically, falling on our knees and saying, God, I need you in my life. Being with other Christians. Holding each other account. Calling each other back to the Lord. Making sure we're in the places of worship together and also individually. All those disciplines that we talked about, sort of spiritual discipline stuff, applying all those things as they might help us. Fasting helps, meditation, simplicity, solitude. Putting all these things so that we might make sure that we remain in Christ. That's why I, as a pastor, but also in my own personal readings, go back to the Gospels time and time again. I want to be re-inspired by Jesus. I want my life to portray Christ. That I'm meeting him daily and somehow his glory is just a little bit of his glory is reflecting off me into the world. But I want to remain in him. But the other part is, and it's here, so you've got remain in Christ in John 15, but you've also got keep in step with the Spirit, chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I, as you know, because I actually demonstrated this last Sunday morning, I am not a very good dancer. If you missed that, you're going to have to get the CD, the DVD upstairs. I'm not a very good dancer. And I think if I tried to dance, you know, if you were a good dancer, you would probably, if I was your partner, you'd probably dump me fairly quickly. But the analogy of dance actually comes to mind every time I read this passage. You know, we dance with the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that leads us, that takes us, knows all the steps and all the movements, and we don't. And in moments when we're dancing on the dance floor, falling over our own feet, and sometimes falling on the floor, we have a choice at that point to either get up and get back in step with the Spirit, or to lay on the floor and groan and moan about it. My encouragement to you is to get up. Go back to the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to take you again and to lead you through the dance so that you might learn his steps as he leads you. How do we do that? Well, I've kind of already alluded to it, but I'll mention it again. We listen to the Spirit. We listen to the Spirit through prayer. We listen to the Spirit through reading his word. And we listen to the Spirit through the counsel of wise, Spirit-filled saints. We listen to the Spirit through each other, as we listen to each other. How do we keep in step with the Spirit? We submit to the Spirit. We say to the Spirit, this is not about me, this is about you. And actually, so often it is about us, isn't it? We even try to manipulate Christ and the Spirit to do the things that we want him to do. And actually, there are times when we have to just humbly say, Lord, I put all that down, all that status, all that significance, all that desire to be noticed, all that attention seeking that's in my life that I kind of want to soak up and let everyone see me. All that stuff, I'm going to lay that down and allow you to be my guide, my leader. Because he knows best for our lives. And it's about true submission to the Spirit of God. And we must recognize and acknowledge that it is him that brings spiritual growth, not us. So if there is any fruit in our lives, who has the glory? He does. Not us. It's great when you see a fruit in someone's life and you go and encourage them and say, bless you for that. And they go, what are you talking about? You say, well, you really blessed my life, or you really cared for me in that situation, or you really showed a sense of thanksgiving when I couldn't see that. And they may not see it themselves, but that's because the fruit of the Spirit is at work in their lives. The Spirit is doing that in their lives. And it's good sometimes we don't see it in ourselves. I think sometimes if we saw too much of it, we would be like, whoa, look at me. Mr. Love, Joy, Peace, Patience, Kindness, Goodness, Gentleness, Self-Control. Whoa, look at me. No, it's his work. And if anyone thanks you for the fruit in your life, give him the glory. And acknowledge and recognize that the fruit belongs to him, the Spirit of God. Growth only comes by the Spirit. And finally, lastly, fifth point. Spiritual growth is seen by its fruit. And this is kind of an obvious one, really, but as we grow in our lives, so the fruit that belongs to the Spirit begins to appear in our lives. But I want you to note that in this passage, just look at that verse where it lists the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and then it lists those wonderful attributes. This is one fruit, plural. No, singular, sorry. Singular, not plural. So when we read this verse, we are not reading a whole load of fruits. So what Paul is not saying, he's not saying the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's saying the fruit of the Spirit looks like this. It's one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what it looks like. If I'd had an apple at home, I'd have brought one. If I had any fruit at home, I would have brought one. But we have no fruit in the house. Oh, there's a lemon. Is there? There's a lemon, apparently. Okay, we'll do lemon then. That's fine. That's a lemon. Got another lemon over there, but we won't talk about that. So if I brought a lemon in, I could say to you, could you tell me about a lemon? Go on, tell me about a lemon. What do we know about a lemon?
Yellow.
It's yellow. It's thick-skinned. It's pips. It's sour. You're describing one fruit, aren't you? You're describing a fruit. Do it with apple, do it with banana, whatever it is. We can add a whole load of descriptions around that fruit to describe what the fruit is. And that's how we read this passage. This is one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And it is described as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think I got them in the wrong order, but I think they're all there. It's described as that. That's how it's described as. Why is that? Why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because when we flourish, all those things should be seen in our lives. All those things. And this has checked me before, because God has kind of said to me, we all fall into pride, don't we? And there are times I've thought to myself, well, I'm full of fruit of the Spirit. Got loads of love. Loads of joy. What else is there? Loads of peace. I'm at peace. I'm a kind person. I'm good. You know, I could pick the ones that kind of fit me, my personality perhaps, and say, actually, you know, I'm not doing too badly. You know, I've got 9 love at the moment, so I'm doing all right, kind of thing. And that's not the way to read the passage. I'm so grateful that self-control is on this. Because I get to self-control and I go... there may be a fruit in here that actually you struggle with, particularly. No, it's not a fruit, a part of the fruit, the description of the fruit. And that part is important because it's the way the Spirit says to you, just checking you, just bringing you into line, just reminding you not to get too proud, but to recognize that this is one fruit and this area for you is actually a very important area. You're not very peaceful. And when I'm at work in your life, that's what's going to change. The fruit of the Spirit will begin to flourish and people will see peace in your life. You'll see it in yourself to some extent, but they'll see it in your life because I'm at work. So it's not a pick and choose which ones are going to be, you know, my fruit. It's the whole package. The whole package. But fruit will be seen in our lives. And I pray that as we kind of look at these different areas, because we're just going to immerse ourselves in what it actually means to be people of love, joy, peace, and so forth, as guided and empowered by the Spirit of God. As we look at these things, I pray that our lives will grow deeper and deeper into His, and that we will become more and more like Jesus, bearing wonderful fruit for the glory of His name. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask the band to come and join me again. We're just going to pray for a moment. And then we're going to sing our last song as a song of response to this. Let's just